not already, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. If out of respect for God's word, we could actually stand for the reading of God's word tonight, beginning with verse 1 in Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Let us actually turn over to Acts chapter 11, and we're going to read one verse in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to gather together, to study your word, to worship you. Lord, we pray now, dear God, that you will give me your power, give me your words to speak. I pray that you would give me clarity of thought. I pray, dear God, that you would fill me with your spirit and each one of us, Lord, that you would stir the Holy Spirit in us. I pray that you would encourage us, but also challenge us from your word, dear God. Help us. Help us that we would draw closer to you. We know that you desire to draw close to us. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would truly seek you. I pray, dear God, that everything that we say and do tonight would honor and glorify you. In Christ's precious name, amen. Thank you very much. Okay, Acts chapter 10. If we go through the book of Acts, we're seeing the early church. Go back to Acts chapter 2. We've got the beginning of the church age, Pentecost. And we see Peter there. We see a lot going on. As we go through chapter 3, chapter 4, we see thousands of individuals that are saved. In Acts chapter 9, we see Saul, as we know as the Apostle Paul, is met on the road to Damascus by the shining light from the Lord, and he is saved through that. In Acts chapter 10, as we go through the early church time period, this is actually the beginning of when salvation is introduced to the Gentiles. So I praise the Lord that God saw fit to save Gentiles. Amen? Amen. Every one of us should be saying amen unless we have the privilege of having Jewish brothers or sisters here with us. But the chapter 10 of Acts, introducing Cornelius, introducing the Gentiles here, a lot of times we wouldn't think of this as a missions chapter or missions message. I don't think I've ever heard another missionary preach from this, but I believe that God does have a message for us. I actually want us to see what I believe are three responsibilities. Very simple outline. I'm sure you've probably heard each of these points before, but a very simple outline, but I believe three responsibilities. But before I get to each one of those, I want to actually read a letter to you. The title of my message is, Are We Willing or Withstanding? Going back to that one verse that we read in Acts chapter 11, verse 17. We're going to be focusing on Acts chapter 10. But in verse 17, Peter said, How could I withstand God? God had done a mighty work, and we're going to see more of those details in just a moment, but Peter knew that he could not turn his back on God. He could not withstand what God was trying to accomplish. And that's what we're going to see tonight. The question for each of us is, are we willing or are we withstanding? Using the term preaching to the choir, I know that most of you are faithful, you're serving the Lord, but I believe that even when we're in church three times a week or more, we still can have a tendency to kind of drift away a little bit from the Lord. So I pray that this will be a challenge to us as well as an encouragement. But I want to read the letter written by a missionary to his future father-in-law. Some of you may be familiar with this letter, but I believe that this provides a great challenge for us in our thinking. The letter starts out, "I have now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world, whether you can consent to her departure for a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death." If I were to stop right there, how many of us fathers would raise our hand and say, "Sure, I'll give my daughter for that"? How many mothers would raise their hand and say, "Yeah, I'll give my daughter for that"? But let's go on in the letter. "Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you?" Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God, can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness brightened by the acclamations of praise which shall redound to her Savior from heathen saved through her means from eternal woe and despair?" That was a letter written by Adoniram Judson to his future father-in-law. He really didn't know what the response would be. But that father-in-law, after reading that letter, trusted in the Lord enough to give his daughter over, her hand over in marriage. And knowing what she faced, she willingly went with Adoniram Judson to the mission field. Most of us living here in America, or even those going to the mission field today, in most cases, will not face most of those perils. It is still possible on the foreign mission field today, but most of us never run into much. We don't have to sail across the ocean around the world like they did and go through that. But here's the question. Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves like they were? We read missionary biographies. We read about those in the early church, those that gave us the precious word of God. Are we willing to sacrifice like they did for us? That is a question that we must each ask ourselves and examine ourselves. Are we truly willing to give that much to the Lord who gave his all for us? I love Philippians chapter 2. I love the book of Philippians, period. But reading Philippians chapter 2 and seeing the sacrifice that Christ made. He gave his all, even the death of the cross. He was willing to give everything for us. So what are our responsibilities as believers? I believe that there's more than three, but I'm going to touch on three tonight. Three responsibilities that I believe that we can learn from this passage in Acts chapter 10. First, that we must pray. Very simple. We all know that. We must pray. Prayer is absolutely essential. Nothing is going to be accomplished for the work of the Lord without us spending time anguishing, agonizing in prayer. I know you guys have men's prayer meeting before service on Sunday night. I don't know how many other times during the week the people here meet to pray, but prayer is important here. But in each one of our lives, do we truly pray as we ought? James 4, 2 and 3 says, "Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss." 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. James 5, "The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much." Philippians 4, 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Luke 18, 1, Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We should never lose heart in our prayers. Amen? We should never lose heart. As we look back in these scriptures in Acts chapter 10, in verse 2, it says, talking about Cornelius, it calls him a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He prayed to God continually, consistently, on a regular basis. Also, if we look over at verse 30, it says, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. This was a man that fasted and prayed. But there's one key important note about this man, Cornelius. If we turn over to Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, I'll explain more about this passage in a minute, but it says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? This is Peter responding to criticism from other Jews, telling them that God instructed him to go and share with Cornelius how Cornelius and his family and friends can know Christ as Savior. This man, Cornelius, was an unsaved man. But yet, it says he prayed to God always. He was a very religious man. Our nation, this world, the Philippines, very, very religious, trying to work their way to heaven. Is that not what's happening in our own country? Absolutely. There are so many, they say all these different religions lead to heaven. But what does God tell us? What does the Lord Jesus Christ Himself tell us? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus makes it very clear that there are not many roads that lead to heaven, that He is the one and only way. But this man, Cornelius, was a very religious man. He was doing all the right things. He was trying to be Jewish. He was trying to be a Jewish proselyte. And for the most part, it sounds through these scriptures that the Jewish people did not think too much against him. Beginning in verse 9 through 23, we did not read all these passages. So in the first 8 verses, Cornelius, an angel of the Lord spoke to Cornelius, told him to send men to Joppa. In verses 9 through 23, Peter also has a vision. Peter has a vision, and the Lord brings down a sheet before him on 3 different occasions. And all these different four-legged beasts and fowls of the air and so forth are running to and fro on that sheet. And in verse 13, it says, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So Peter also had a vision. But how did he end up having that vision? The first part of that verse, verse 9, says Peter, the second part of verse 9, the beginning of this set of scripture, says Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. Peter had become a man of prayer. We could go back through the life of Peter. And if we were to go back, and we're not going to go through all of it, but going back to Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And then he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, absolutely correct in that case. Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. But yet, if we go 10 chapters later into Matthew 26, what happens there? Not only does Peter end up denying the Lord 3 times, but even prior to that, if we were to go to Luke chapter 18, I believe, the Lord Jesus tells Peter himself that Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He's seeking to have you, desiring to sift you as wheat. Jesus has given Peter a warning. Then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, the Lord takes Peter, James, and John with him as Jesus himself falls down on his face praying. Oh, if we would just follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ as he prayed, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, on his knees in prayer, crying out to the Lord, knowing what he is about to face, dripping drops of blood, sweat, like blood. And yet, what happened to Peter and James and John? They fell asleep.
They fell asleep while praying. If they had been able to stay alert, to stay awake, and what did the Lord ask them? Could not thou pray 1 hour? Peter, could you not pray 1 hour for me? I'm in a crisis here. I needed you. I needed you to be praying for me. How many times should we be praying for people? What about lost family members or our neighbors? Do we spend time anguishing in prayer for them? I've heard many missionary stories about difficulties that they've gone through out in the jungle or wherever, and to find out that someone was praying for them. There's no greater blessing than that, to know that people are praying for you. It is the Lord's desire that each one of us would spend time in prayer. I could go into much more detail, but Peter was brought back into fellowship. The Lord did not discard him. Amen? I'm so thankful for the long suffering of the Lord. Peter was not discarded, and he was used in a mighty way, and I believe that he became a great man of prayer. He realized the importance of prayer. I know that I really haven't done it justice. We could spend an entire week just studying on prayer, amen? Or do an entire year-long series almost, but God hears and answers prayer. God does not just look on the outward appearance, he looks upon the heart. And he knew, even if Cornelius had not cried out to him, I believe he knew the heart of that man Cornelius. He knew that Cornelius was seeking and searching, but yet that man was praying. There are so many that are lost, and they're trying to pray for all sorts of things that just hits the ceiling. It doesn't go beyond that, but when they call out, seeking salvation, searching for the Lord hears those prayers. Amen? Amen? The Lord hears. And we know that as believers that the Lord hears us as well. He hears and he answers. Amen? He not only hears, but he answers prayers. He knows the believers' hurting hearts. We could go through all different financial difficulties, health issues, relationship issues, whether it be marriage, wayward children, whatever the case may be, lost loved ones, all of those different scenarios. We could go into all sorts of details, but the Lord knows each and every need. When we call out to him, Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Psalm 4, verse 3, "The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Psalm 86:7, "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." King David knew that the Lord would answer him. We can trust the Lord and know that as we call out to him, he hears us. He will respond. He will answer. We must pray. But secondly, we also must obey. We must obey God's instructions to go. Cornelius and Peter both were men of prayer. But we must obey God's instructions to go. God is the one that calls. God is the one that instructs. But are we willing to respond and answer that call? One preacher said you can never take the gospel to the wrong address. Amen? You can never take the gospel to the wrong address. It does not matter to who or to where, but the when is imperative. The when is imperative. The time is now. Time is short. We must respond immediately. My burden is in the Philippines, but the Lord has used us. I surrendered in 2000. We haven't been sitting around. We worked in the ministry at Noose up until we left in 2005. We weren't on staff or anything, but we just did everything that we could involved in the ministry. We moved to Florida. We were involved as much as we could be down there as well, doing our internship and all while in seminary. But all through that time, the Lord has desired us to share the gospel. That's his desire of each and every one of us in here if we know Christ as our own personal Savior. He desires us to take that message and share it with those around us. None of us have an excuse. Every one of us, this nation is in great need. It has been a blessing to travel on deputation and be in so many churches around the country, almost throughout the entire country. We just have not been up in the Northwest. But we've been across much of this nation, and to see local churches, local bodies of believers that just desire, love the Lord and desire to serve Him. But still, the church as a whole in this nation is failing. We are not reaching the people as we need to be with the truth of God's Word. We must respond immediately. Cornelius did in verse 7 and 8. Verse 8, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. The Lord gave instructions to Cornelius. He responded immediately. I read scripture on Peter a moment ago. In verse 14, Peter originally did not respond in a positive manner. He said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." The Lord rebuked him, said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And then, down in verse 19, the Lord responds to Peter again. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." And Peter, then in verse 23, "Then called he them in and lodged them." That alone is a miracle. Jewish people did not bring Gentiles into their homes, allow them to stay in their homes and feed them. But then, on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Both Cornelius and Peter were willing to obey the Lord. Cornelius sent his men and prepared for the coming of Peter. Look at verse 24. "On the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends." Cornelius did not sit silently, twiddling his fingers and thumbs, waiting for Peter to arrive. Cornelius knew that God had a message for him, and he went out. He had a burden for his friends and his family. He wanted them to hear the message of God. Do we have that burden? Do we have that burden to gather our friends and family to hear the message of God? That was the burden of Cornelius. He went and gathered all his friends together. But I mentioned Peter originally, his negative response to the Lord. That verse in chapter 11, verse 17, where Peter says, "What was I that I could withstand God?" That was not his initial response. But I want to focus on that word, withstand, for just a moment. In our King James New Testament, there are two English words, withstand, translated from, that English word withstand is translated from two different Greek words. One of them means to resist. When God called us into the ministry, I was hesitant because I knew how my wife felt. And she absolutely said, "No, Lord, I'm not going. I don't want to go." She told me, "You go, I'll stay here and work, and I'll even send you support. So you go back there." I praise the Lord that He changes hearts. Amen? But we resisted. But that word used here has a much stronger meaning. It means to hinder or forbid. Kaluo is the word that is actually used there, and it means to hinder or forbid. It is actually translated forbid in Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." That's what Peter is saying here, that how could I hinder God's word? How could I forbid God's will from being accomplished? Is that not the stance that each one of us should take? That we should be willing to surrender ourselves, be willing to go, be willing to give ourselves. Cornelius was given instructions. Peter was given instructions. They obeyed. Has God given us instructions? I believe we could turn to many places in the Gospels and Acts 1:8, but I think of Mark 16:15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." To who? To every creature. I've heard these scriptures, Acts chapter 10, used to talk about prejudice and all. In a way, Peter, he was prejudiced. All the Jews were prejudiced against others. I think many times we are prejudiced against others. I'm not talking color. I'm talking about taking our time to go to these different nations and so forth. And even different groups here in America. Sometimes we think it's not worth our time or effort. But the Lord is giving us a command to go. To go and teach all nations. to share the Word of God, to teach individuals. That's what the Lord desires us to do, not only to share the gospel in the Philippines, but I appreciate the vision of Pastor Ennis and the leadership here with this church, but it didn't stop there. You've got a radio ministry. You've got a Christian school. You've got at least a Bible Institute. Is it a Bible college or a Bible college? So many different ministries and outreaches here. The Lord has called us not only to plant churches in the Philippines, but also to start a Bible Institute, which we pray would someday reach the status of a Bible college. But why would we do that? I believe the Lord has a twofold purpose for the Philippines. 150 years ago, the Lord was using the land of England to send out missionaries. I keep hitting this light. To send out missionaries, He was using England. The last 100 years, He has used our beloved nation. I praise the Lord for America, and I pray that America continues to honor and serve the Lord, that we're able to continue to send out missionaries from this country. But I believe in addition to America that the Lord has strategically placed Filipinos around the world. They are a diligent, hardworking group of people, loved. How can you not love a Filipino? I'm thankful the Lord gave me one as my wife. But Filipinos are so kind and loving. They are accepted in almost every nation around the world. You go around the world, you will meet Filipinos in almost every single country. I believe the Lord has a purpose for that. They are accepted. We talk about reaching the 1040 window and how difficult it is for us. Filipinos can go to many countries that you and I cannot. So yes, the Lord has called us to the Philippines to take God's word to the Philippines, to see souls saved there, to plant churches, but also to train nationals to be able to send them out to other countries around the world as missionaries, that they can also, not only in the Philippines, they can do it there as well. But I believe the Lord desires to use many Filipinos to start churches in other countries that you and I as Americans could never step foot in. I believe that is the Lord's desire. Are we willing to obey the instructions to go? And lastly, we must preach and teach the gospel. We must preach and teach the gospel. We must preach Christ. That is the only answer to the world's problems. This world talks about peace. They talk about peace talks in the Middle East. I almost want to laugh at that sometimes because we know the truth. We know that peace will never come to the Middle East or anywhere else in this world until Christ returns. Amen? Amen. But the great exception to that is regardless of the turmoil going on around us, that we can have peace by trusting Christ as our personal Savior. We can have peace no matter the difficulties that are going on around us. Amen? And in these scriptures, in Acts chapter 10, we did not go through verse by verse, but verses 34 through 43, Peter goes through and Peter gives a gospel presentation to Cornelius and all the people that are with him. And in those scriptures, Peter says, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, bringing peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." He goes through these scriptures as we go down through verse 39. Peter talks about them putting Christ on the cross. They slew and hanged on a tree. But it also, in verse 40, talks about him God raised up the third day. So he goes through the gospel message, sharing how Christ came, Christ, the bearer of our sins. He died in our place, shedding his blood for our sins. If we could work our way to heaven, why did Christ ever have to die? Amen? Amen. But he came. He willingly gave himself on the cross. But he didn't stay in the tomb. Amen? God raised up the third day and showed him openly. He was openly shown to many. Paul writes that over 500 at one time saw him. In verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people." Is that not what he's commanded us to do as well? To take his message to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We are to take His message to the entire world. Verse 43, to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. That is what we must teach. That is what Peter shared with Cornelius and his family. And at that time, I believe verse 43 is where each one of them realized that the gift of salvation was available to them as well. There are many that don't realize the truth of the Scriptures. They don't realize that if they will admit that they're a sinner, if they will believe that Jesus Christ came to die for them, admit that there's nothing that they can do to eliminate their own sin, but to put their trust in Christ, they don't know that truth. In the Philippines, do they have Bibles? They do. I realize there are many languages that do not have Scripture. In the Philippines, they do, but they do not know the truth of God's Word. There are men like Pastor Apollo Kibaloy, who is a man that dresses in all white, and his entire congregation is dressed in all white. He claims to be the appointed Son of God. Yeah, we kind of shudder at that, and we just imagine God striking him dead. But yet, that man is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he is leading people astray in the Philippines. There are many groups like that that are growing tremendously. And we believe that it's God's desire for us to take the truth of God's Word to the people in the Philippines. But we must pray. God's people here must pray. We must be willing to obey and go. That doesn't mean that God's going to call you to go to the far reaches of the world. But are you willing to go across the street? That's what God desires each one of us to do, at the least. But also, are we willing, if we see people get saved, are we willing to sit down and disciple them? That's what's lacking in so many churches in this country. That's what we desire to do over there, is to be able to disciple and train up the new believers. That's what God instructs us to do. So we must pray. We must obey and be willing to go, but we must also preach and teach the gospel. Let's pray as Pastor comes. Lord, we do thank You for this opportunity to share Your message. We thank You, Lord, for the Scriptures, and we do pray, dear God, that You will use this to put an even greater burden on each one of our hearts for those around us, Lord. May You be honored and glorified in Christ's precious name. Amen.